is Wednesday, August 10, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you if you were just tuning in. And the big news yesterday was Ricky Stewart handed a one-match ban and a $25,000 fine for calling Jamin Semin a weak, gutted dog, so he can return to the club, Ricky, next Wednesday morning there at Canberra. Isaiah Papali'i, well, the Sydney Morning Herald say that he may request a release from his Tigers contract to head back to New Zealand. His partner lives there, so it just seems like he's doing whatever he can to not go to the Tigers next year. Teams are out for this weekend. We've got 4 weeks left before the finals and Penrith and Melbourne tomorrow night. Viliami Kikau's back on an extended bench, but could return from a hip injury. There's no James Fisher-Harris, of course, for Penrith, who's suspended. Cameron Munster's back at 5'8" after his cameo there at fullback after the injury to Jerome Hughes the other day. Cooper Johns joins him in the halves. Hughes has that shoulder injury. Nick Meaney and Justin Olam back in the side. No Felice Kaufusi for the Storm. Sadly, lost his father in recent days. In boxing, Paul Gallen set to fight Justin Hodges and Ben Hennett in one night. Thursday, September 15, Nissan Arena in Brisbane. Big news at the Swans yesterday. Josh Kennedy, what a player he has been. He's set to retire at the end of the season. Still has to recover from yet another hamstring injury. Hopefully gets a run should the Swans go deep into the finals. And, well, we got Phil Moss in the chair this morning with Clarkey coming back next Monday. And we've also got the bloke who was in that chair yesterday back in the studio, the great Dean Bulldog Richie. How are you,
Bulldog? Morning, Mido, Mossy, LD.
Morning, mate.
Dean, how are you?
We're all good. Yeah, busy day yesterday with the Ricky decision being finalised. Did we all agree? 1 week and 25,000 was enough. And make sure we remember that 25 is a personal fine. Andrew Abdo made that very clear yesterday. Generally, a fine would go back to the club, but this is for Ricky to pay out of his own kick.
Yeah, and Mossy made a good point earlier. It might be a good thing for Rick just to have that 1 week away from the game, just to refresh himself. And Mossy was talking about how the mental strain gets on coaches, and you've been there. You know a lot of coaches that have been there. And, yeah, your thoughts on, you know, sometimes when you're saying things like this on that platform, it might be an indication that you need
Yeah, I was just saying earlier, Bulldog, like it's a comment like that speaks to, you know, deeper issues around mental fatigue and the strain and the pressure of coaching at the top level. And Ricky's done, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is his 20th season. That's a long innings. So to come out with comments like that, I looked at it at the time and thought he's under some serious strain here. The pressure he probably puts on himself. Loz, you know him better than anyone. I've met him a couple of times, and he's an intense sort of guy in the professional sense. I've never had a beer and a barbecue with him, but I just sense those comments speak to having a week away from the game just to clear your head. I've just been to Bali for 11 days, and I know how I feel now compared to when I left, and you know, my job that I have in the day is fairly high pressure. I feel like a different person myself, so I can only imagine what a week off might do for Ricky. Get on the golf course, worry about the little white ball instead of the Stedden for a week.
Yeah, they certainly did rub him out. There was no grey areas yesterday when Andrew Abdo held his press conference. He can't go to the game. He can't train. He can't contact players physically or remotely. He can't send messages to the coaching staff. He can't have any involvement in the preparation. And I did note, too, that because the presser was at 4 o'clock yesterday and it's a one-week ban, it means he will not be allowed back until 4 p.m. Tuesday. So that would also snowball into next week now. Because 4 o'clock Tuesday is when the team is announced for the following week against Newcastle. So Ricky technically will not have any involvement in the side that is picked for round 23 either.
Do you think he should have been suspended for a week?
I thought what they could have done, Loz, was suspend him for this week, suspend him for the game, and let him come back on Monday, which would then allow him to start preparing his side for the Knights. Get into recovery, get into video, and then have that ability to help pick the side. I think they got it right. Look, there's a lot of debate on social media. Ricky polarises. We discussed it yesterday. You know, most people will be anti-Ricky rather than pro-Ricky. He gets that. He understands it. But I think they got it right. there was a suggestion it was going to be two. I think there were some meetings internally inside the NRL, and in the end they came out with one. It's a kick in the backside for Sticky. He knows it. He's told me he's embarrassed, and I don't think you'll see it happen again. But we don't want Ricky Stewart to lose his passion, guys. We love that about
that's
Ricky.
So true.
We love him on the sidelines, jumping up and down. Those press conferences, they're must watch. We all love Ricky's press conferences because we know there's a chance he's going to get snaky, he's going to get aggro, he's going to have a laugh, whatever it may be. There's a myriad of emotions, but we love that about Ricky Stewart. And as much as this decision is right, I just hope that we don't lose the Ricky Stewart that we do love in terms of passion and the way he embraces the game.
Naturally, Penrith players rallying hard around Jamin Semin, and the Panthers issued a statement supporting the NRL's actions there as well yesterday. And I guess you wonder on a personal front whether the matter will be taken further. But the Penrith players certainly will say that Semin was, you know, pretty rattled after the comments on the weekend, and they're doing their best to protect him because, as we know, the sewer that is social media won't be helping his case in it as far as moving forward as well.
Yeah, I spoke to some people in and around Penrith over the last day or two, and they did concede that when he was young, he was a bit of a scallywag, and he got up to some behaviour that wasn't acceptable. But those that know him now claim that he is a changed man. He's matured, and he's done a bit of growing up. As you say, Mido, in terms of welfare, the Panthers are gathering around him. I did speak to his manager too, Sam Ayoub, 2 days ago, and he said to me that he would advise Jamin Semin not to go down the legal avenue if that's what he's considering. I hope some lawyer doesn't wave a finger in front of his face and under his nose, and he thinks it's an easy way to make some coin, because a court case can get ugly. Both sides get dragged into it. The background of both get dragged into it. It could go on for 18 months, and the loser, whoever that may be, could be up for a lot of money. So I think we all agree that it would be better if the incident is sort of dead and buried now. Jamin's looked after. The Panthers gather around him. Ricky does his suspension, and then we can move on from this ugly mess.
The Roosters have just put out a statement. Sam Verrills will be departing the club at the end of this season, and he's going to take up a 2-year opportunity with the Gold Coast Titans, which I'm sure is not one bit of a surprise, really, considering Brandon Smith's going to that club.
Yeah, absolutely. Smith will be there starting dummy half, you'd imagine. Laws. I can't see another position that you'd pay top dollar to put him in. You wouldn't want him on 14, even though he is a great 14. But Verrills is a good player. He's a loss.
Yeah, well, he's only young. Loss. He's only young, and he's won a competition. I think he was the first try scorer in that grand final too against the Raiders. But he gives great service. He's a really good pickup for the Gold Coast Titans. I mean, they needed to fix their spine, and they've done that now, well, starting to do that now with a bit of experience in Kieran Foran going there. You get a guy that's coming into the best, well, he should be coming into the best period of his career. You know, he's only still early 20s in Sam Verrills. He's won a competition. He'll play finals football again this year, so you get an experienced player. So they've bought nicely, the Titans. But Brendan Smith, yeah, he'll be the hooker there for the Roosters. And
is he a good fit, Loz? Is he a good fit for the Roosters? Will he fit in to that structured, disciplined Roosters outfit, which is renowned for being so well-behaved and so disciplined? I hope he does, because...
Well, you could argue.
Ricky, we don't want to lose the scallywag anymore.
Well, you could argue that if you're talking culture, that Melbourne's culture has been better than the Roosters.
True.
You know, and they have been the leaders for the last 20 years.
Well, he's found some trouble down there.
So that's what I mean. So he's found trouble down there. No reason why he mightn't find trouble up here, but you could say that about anyone. You know, but a different environment and different stages of his career. You know, he's what now 26. I think so. He's starting to be, you know, we talk about evolving as a person. I think we all agree that as young blokes, we all do silly things, and you mature as you get older. So if you're going to take a punt on a guy like Brendan Smith, you're getting him at the right time, and you'd be prepared to take that punt on him. He's a wonderful player, and he's a scallywag, and he does some things that not everyone agrees with. But you'd think if he's going to the Roosters at this particular stage of his footy career, it will be a good pickup for him.
Caelan Ponga. Now, he wasn't named in the fullback jersey for Newcastle against Brisbane on Saturday night, Bulldog. So when can we expect to see him back this season?
Yeah, it's the $64,000 question up there in the Hunter Mido. I think you'll find he will be ruled out for the season. The Knights are waiting on a medical report. As we understand it, he'll be advised, or he has been advised, to miss 4 to 6 weeks because of those ongoing concussions. It would mean he would be available for the final round game against Cronulla on September 4. But given the Knights can't make the finals, there's one game to go. Is it worth the risk to put him back out there? Personally, with no medical background, would say, look, just go away, take a holiday, get yourself ready for next season.
Well, I want to run this by you then, Bulldog, because I've heard him talk about how he wants to go to the World Cup. And I'll throw Tom Trbojevic into this conversation as well. They're both missing more than likely for the rest of the year. We know that Tom was ruled out early this season, won't play for Manly, and with Newcastle not playing finals, you'd think that Newcastle aren't going to pick him for one game after suffering those head knocks. In terms of World Cup selection, do you think they'll be available to play for Australia?
It's a great question, Loz, because if the player deems himself available, does the coach pick him? I would imagine that both coaches would, Michael Maguire and Mal Meninga. If Tom Trbojevic rings Mal and says, my rehab's complete, I haven't played, but I am available. If you want to pick me, I'll go to England.
But is that a complete rehab, though?
Well, if he's medically ticked off, he was going to be back week one or two of the finals, Mossy. So say Manly don't make it, and it's looking more likely that they won't make it. But if by week one or two he is physically ready and the doctors have said, you are fine to go, what do you do? Do you pick him?
Well, I know.
I spoke to some members of the Kangaroo coaching staff, and they said, if he says he's available, we're picking him.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I know it's a different code altogether, but I'm thinking of Arnie with Tommy Rogic, for instance, for the World Cup with the Socceroos. If Tommy hasn't played any game, and I know there was a different set of circumstances there pulling out of the last qualifiers, but if he rings Arnie, just before the squad has to be announced and says, I'm right to go, I haven't played, but I've been training and I'm fully fit training-wise, do you take him to a World Cup? I know it's a different code. I understand that. But it's a tough one.
I'll ask you, Loz, if you were the Kangaroos coach and Tom Trbojevic rang you and said, Laurie, I'm available, would you take him?
Oh, you know what, Bulldog, it's a hard one because he hasn't played a lot of footy. Mm. He hasn't played a lot of football and coming off a serious shoulder injury where he's had 6 months off. I'd have some concerns.
There's six games. You wouldn't play all six, clearly.
No, but I'd have some concerns, I would, about taking a guy away.
You're picking Caelan Ponga, though, aren't you?
Sorry?
You're picking Caelan Ponga if he's available, aren't you?
Well, it's the same situation.
Same situation.
We saw Caelan Ponga. Was he man of the match in Origin 3? Turbo hasn't played, since April?
Michael Maguire would have to take Caelan Ponga.
This is the situation, though. You're the club. You talk about Latrell Mitchell at the start of the year. All right? So you've got Latrell going away and not playing for New South Wales because he'd had long-term hamstring injury. So you've got a guy that you could worry about his long-term health with concussions. And then you've got a guy coming off the back of a shoulder reconstruction. I don't know how the clubs would feel about their player, going to a World Cup after missing a fair chunk of the NRL season.
I said Michael Maguire. Clearly, I meant Mal Meninga taking him.
Yeah.
I spoke to Des Hasler about Tom, and it was a private conversation, so I won't go into details, but he was extremely reluctant to allow Tom to tour, given what Tom has gone through this year. Mm. And in terms of Manly, who pay him the $1 million a year, they want him to have a pre-season and an off-season where he's rested and is ready in round one to come back and go, wham, bam, thank you, man.
That's what I mean. If you go over there on those heavier surfaces, you know, rain, and you know, you're playing against minnows to start with. I would be suggesting that they would miss it to get themselves right for the full season, rather than risking it and then putting your whole career in jeopardy.
I said to Des Loz, and Des doesn't listen to me. He never has. He never will. And rightly so. I said, Des, I know you're thinking about Manly, but do you take into account the kid's desire to play in a World Cup? Do you take into account his desire to do some travelling, to enjoy life, to enjoy his career as a football player?
But I think you sit down with the player and sit down with Tom and say, mate, that's fine, but these are the risks. And I know you can get injured in any game, but you're more susceptible after a serious injury. And he's had hamstring problems, he's had shoulder problems. And again, if I'm Mal, I'm wanting him there. I'm wanting him there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you certainly want him there if he's fit and in the right frame of mind. But if I'm a club, I'm sort of thinking the other way, going, well, no, we've invested in you heavily here. We're paying you a lot of money. We've invested in you long term. You could set us back 5-10 years if you go over there and re-injure your shoulder and your career's done.
That's why I asked the question. Sorry, Minnow. That's why I asked Bulldog the question. Is it rehab complete if he hasn't played a game going into a World Cup camp? Like, for me, to have your rehab ticked off and complete, you've played at least a few club games before you get selected for your national team. For a World Cup, we're talking about the pinnacle of the sport.
Medically, I think you can be declared fit, but you're right, Mossy. The unofficial pub test would be getting through a couple of games.
Yeah.
What did Des say when you put that to him, just out of interest?
Oh, it's a family show. I won't say it. I get Des's point.
Yeah.
I do. I understand Des 100%. Yeah. But I also get Tommy wanting to enjoy life as a 25-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
And go to a World Cup and enjoy the advantages and the benefits of being a rugby league player. We don't get a lot of travel in our game. It's not like football, Mossy, where they travel the world. We don't get that.
As long as it's all explained to him that you're at more risk, obviously, early in your campaign of redoing it. And same with Kalen. I mean, you know, we're hearing more about head knocks and concussions, and he's had a few. I don't know. If I'm him, I'm probably not wanting to risk the fact that I could go over there, play one game, get another head knock, and then there's some serious discussions taking place about your long-term future.
Bulldog, the Sharkies rolling this season, but another player not named again this weekend who has been available more than he has in a long time, you'd have to say, over the course of his career, has been Matt Moylan. So what's going on? He's battling a quad injury and not named again.
Yeah, he certainly is. He's been in great nick this year, hasn't he? He's been in terrific form, and I think he's got an extension down there. But yes, Mido, he has that quad. He will be rested from Saturday's match against the West Tigers out there at Tamworth. Braden Trindle would be his replacement there. Moylan, of course, was a late admission against the Dragons last week. So a little bit of a setback, but certainly he's been in terrific form this year. Probably going back 6-7 years, Laurie, to when he was a star at Penrith.
I know you get all the mail from Newcastle, and they had a good victory last weekend against the Tigers. David Clemmer.
Newcastle.
I'm winding you up, Dean.
Go on, keep winding.
That goes straight over your head there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, you didn't bite either. I was waiting for the dog to bite.
As in the Kalen Ponga stuff?
Yes.
Keep going. David Clemmer picked?
Yes. Will that upset the apple cart?
I don't think so. Loz, I wouldn't imagine. He's a quality player. He's tough. He's been there before. No.
And I'm not meaning the playing group. I mean, you know.
Well, there's obviously the drama with Hayden Knowles you're referring to. Peter Parr stepped in, the new Newcastle football manager. He claims it's sorted. He claims it's harmonious again. Not sure it's always that simple. I don't think one meeting at times can just fix people who have been butting heads personality-wise for 3-4 years. But there's obviously an uneasy truce. But for the good of the club, for the good of Adam O'Brien's future, they've got to pull their heads in and learn to somehow get along, even if it's a lot of tension in the air still.
Johnny from Moorbank on the text line. Bulldog, any news on whether Luke Thompson will return to the field for the Dogs this season? Question without notice for you.
Yeah, I think he had some concussions. I spoke to his manager about a week ago. the headaches hadn't gone. They were still there. They were hoping to get him back. But the Bulldogs looked at the Alex Twal situation. Remember, Twal got knocked out badly, and they said, that's it, you're gone for the year. A little bit like Kalen Ponga. So I think you'll find Luke Thompson, given, again, the Dogs can't make the finals, I reckon he will be rested for the rest of this year as well.
Mate, Loz asked this question of Danny Widler earlier in the week. Penrith, I know they're in the headlines for all different reasons over the weekend against the Raiders, but can anyone beat them for the title?
I don't think so.
Like you take Nathan Cleary out of that side, and it's
winning.
Almost like they didn't miss a beat. I said to Loz off air, Ivan Cleary's missed a few games this season with his knee issues. The coach, well-oiled machine.
They're well ahead, aren't they? I sat in that chair yesterday, Mossy, and I heard Middo and Laurie talking about the AFL, and I didn't say anything at the time, but you guys were going on about how many contenders there are, and I thought, gee, we've only really got one major contender. Then we've got maybe a cluster in tier two.
Most of the rest.
But when you guys were going through, there was Melbourne, there was Collingwood, there was Geelong, there was Sydney, Richmond have come good. And I'm thinking, wow, you've rattled off 6-7 clubs here that can genuinely win the flag in Victoria. And here we are with really one standout and then, a cluster in that second tier of teams. So, look, it's a grand final, Mossy. Anything can happen. You'd think they'll be there. But all being fair, 50% of possession, 50% of luck, no injuries, a bit of momentum. You'd think they'd win it in a canter.
So why is that with the NRL then? And it's not a loaded question at all, but why is that there's only one real contender at the moment?
Well, the salary cap's supposed to have a level playing field. Yeah. You take Penrith out and the rest of them are fairly level. There's a lot of good clubs in there that are at that same level, Mossy. But I guess it's just how it happens sometimes and how it rolls. There's always a standout team, but generally the standout team in Myers isn't as far ahead as what the Panthers are this year and last year.
And it comes down to one game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It comes down to 80 minutes. And we've seen it in the past where you might be the best side during the year, where you look like, you know, the premiership is yours, but you can have an off day. Mm. And if you have that off day on the big stage, unfortunately, you can lose a competition.
You think, Loz, and this is not a dig at Penrith, they cracked in that grand final and 21 against Melbourne, and then last year Adam Reynolds kicks that goal from the sideline. 2020 goes into Golden Point.
But they were busted last year.
Yeah, they were.
Penrith were busted.
It can happen,
and they proved to everyone how tough they were because they had plenty of players playing with injury, and they won tight games of footy where we thought they'd blow teams away. But yeah, they're a wonderful team.
Thank you, Bulldog.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. And there's Champions League qualifiers this morning, stacks of them. Rangers went into their second leg against a Belgian club, Royale Union. They were down 2-0 on aggregate, went home to Ibrox and have won 3-0. So they're through to the next phase on aggregate. Champions League group stage, of course, not far away. And we'll get Mossy's tips tomorrow. Even though he's joining us here today, we'll get his tips tomorrow for this weekend's Premier League fixtures as well. Now, also, I saw a tweet from Cam Percy. So yesterday, Aussie golfer Cam Percy on RSN in Melbourne, he was asked about Cam Smith and Mark Leishman and the LIV Tour. And, of course, those players defected. And his quote was, unfortunate, yeah, they're gone. And he's tweeted today, well, I was on radio yesterday in Australia and I said it doesn't look good for Leish and Cam going to LIV. My source is talking amongst other players, not Cam and Leish. Now let me get back to my garden. It's a mess. So Cameron Percy obviously copying a lot of queries about his comments on radio in Melbourne there yesterday. But there seems to be a sense of inevitability about this loss.
Yeah, but you've got to be careful, obviously, with what you say as well. And Cam Percy on this occasion, and again, you know, he'd have his ear to the ground. But the thing that I sort of would sort of say to Cam is don't get involved. Because what happens if, because he did say yesterday, you know, players are doing it for the money and they need to think about where the money's come from and all that. He started to go down that route. What happens if they come together? And the prize money is there from the Saudis. Does he then pull out of that competition.
Surely
and,
not.
And take the moral high ground. Yeah, you just want the players to do what they think is right for themselves, and the other players, yes, they can have their own opinions, and if you want to get involved and express them, that's fine. But you've got to remember, if these two parties come together at some particular stage, and you've been very strong in your stance about playing for money and where the money has come from, well, where does that leave you? Mm. Just leaves yourself open for criticism.
Moss, are you okay, mate? Do we need to get a defib in here?
You were talking earlier, Mido, about Loz and his penchant for mandarins. So I thought, you know what? I'll follow the big man in. So I dipped my hand into the lucky dip, pulled a beautiful mandarin out during the break. And just as I was taking the last piece, you asked me a question that made me laugh. And now I'm choking to death.
Yeah. How nice are they at 7:30, though, Mossy? And I'll tell you what, though. We have the same theory on the mandarins. You don't go for the ones that are too hard.
Where the skin's tight.
Too hard.
Yeah. You've got to have a bit of softness.
Yeah, a bit of softness sure. There. And it's easy to peel.
Yeah. Mm.
So I got in before Mossy, and then I grabbed the best one, and then Mossy, mine was beautiful.
Are you one of those at Woolies? When you know, you got all the mandarins in front of you, and you're going through and throwing it back?
Not since COVID.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
What about the avocados? You got to make sure
you're not
getting
it. What about this? Everyone does this, don't they? With the grapes.
Oh, yeah.
you got to taste a grape.
By the time I get to the checkout, the bag's empty.
Yeah, so you're a grape taster?
Mate, I eat the whole bag.
Grape taster or not?
Yeah, everyone is.
Is that classified as stealing?
Well, no, because...
What happens there? Can you get... I've never been warned that I can't do it. But what's the...
Well, you get... What? Well, what's the name? Code on it, isn't it? That you just scan, so it doesn't matter.
No, but just when you...
On the bag.
No, but you just pick the grape and you eat it.
Oh, and walk away.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'll grab my bag and I'll eat them as I'm doing the shopping.
Right, but you won't taste it before you get it.
No, I might have a feel.
Is there an etiquette? Oh, can you get caught for stealing, for doing that? What's the gut?
If you have one, no.
I know you can't stand there for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I think you can justify, because, Loz, your shop would be like $375. So I think you can justify one grape.
One, yeah. I always like tasting the grape. That's all. So I don't want to get in trouble.
Well, I did have a big argument with my kids one day and Penny as we were going through Woolies that it was shoplifting because they're throwing grapes in the air, catching them in their mouths. And
yeah,
I'm like,
kids can get away with it.
Can't do that.
As an adult.
CCTV.
Anyone at the Northbridge Woolies from now on, they say, with the
you
grapes.
You know what I'll do now?
Take a photo.
When I get to the grape section, I'm going to do the old look to my left, look to my right, and then grab one or two and throw it in my gob.
Now, sad news as well. In fact, I want to ask you firstly with regards to the LIV Tour, Mossy. Do you think watching what's going on with this LIV Golf Tour will perhaps embolden the plotters to return in regards to the European Super League in football? Because I think that's another competition that, prospective competition that has a sense of inevitability about it. That those big clubs in Europe... will bind together and create their own competition.
Yeah, it's a great point, and it's crossed my mind too because it's not going away. And even the big blow-up recently over it when, the clubs had to, retrace their steps and take a backward step on it, that had been coming for a long time. It was bubbling under the surface. Clubs like that, with the money that they've got, don't go away. When they've got a seed, it turns into a shrub turns into a bush, and then you got the forest. I can't see that going away. And things like this this golf discussion at the moment, that's only going to strengthen their resolve, I think, to get what they want. Yeah.
Sad news. Rudy Kurtzen, South African umpire, who had the very slow left-hand finger raise, has sadly passed away in a car crash, age 73.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Well, it was him and Billy Bowden had sort of they became almost cult figures, didn't they, in a way? They gave their dismissals.
It was a slow left hand, wasn't it? And as soon as he started to move, you knew that...
Yeah, you were just about in the pavilion by the time he got the finger all the way up.
Oh, that's terrible.
I wonder if the batsman ever
good umpire
hoped that he'd change his mind while the finger hadn't been raised yet.
That's happened in the past, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Where an umpire looks as though he's going to give someone out, and then they've sort of scratched their lip or their chin or their nose or whatever it may be.
Well, I've got a theory in football. A good slow whistle from a referee is always better than a bad fast one.
A slow whistle?
Slow whistle. So get the whistle. Take the time to get the whistle to your mouth so you can actually think about the decision you're about to make rather than just shove it in there and blow it. Gives you just that few seconds to assess. Mm. And referees are actually taught that.
Okay. How many enact it?
Not many.
the slow whistle. Well, we've got a short whistle in rugby league.
As we've learned in the last 3 weeks.
Never heard of it before, but
short
I have.
Fuse as well.
Now, Mossy, I want to take you to task.
What do you got for me?
All right. So you're doing grapes in the bag. All right. I'm doing eating, and we're talking about tasting the grapes, yep. Right? So I'm tasting before I buy and put them in my bag. You're putting them in the bag and then tasting them. And you see that as being different. But as our loyal listeners have texted in, when you get to the counter, it is weight. It's not a fixed price.
I don't believe it because they didn't put a name to it.
So you're doing exactly like me.
Yeah.
And I'm paying probably more money than you.
Yes.
Because I've eaten the grapes and then filled my bag, whereas you fill the bag, then start to eat your grapes.
Then
so
weigh
the
them.
Bag weighs less.
I think, Mido, have we got a break coming up or something? I think we better end this conversation.
So you're rorting it bigger than me.
He's trying to get me in trouble here.
Only because he's nervous about his next trip to the supermarket.
I'll have security following me around.
We'll both turn up to our supermarket and there'll be a picture of us. Most wanted.
Tim's on the line. G'day, Tim.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, mate. What have you got for us?
Murray, you've got plenty, so you can pay more.
Good call.
Mossy's got more than me. He's a soccer man.
Come on. Hey, Mossy, is Ten Hag as good as they say he is?
Technically and tactically, yes.
We are a basket case.
Yeah, technically and tactically, yes. His management skills and leadership at a big, big club are obviously getting tested more than ever before. You know, you could see what he's done before and how his teams play. And you can see parts of that. I could see parts of that during the tour of Australia in the off-season. But leading a club like that and dealing with the egos in the dressing room is totally different to coaching. That's leadership and management. So that's where the big question mark is, because he's relatively... small name in world football terms. This is going to put him on the map if he gets it right, obviously, but it could be a spectacular fool as well.
Because we've been linked with so many players. Like, we paid $50 million for Martinez and City paid $50 million for Haaland. I certainly know who I would rather have.
Yeah, that's right. And that, look, Trent, great point, because Mido and I were talking about this earlier. You know, what do Manchester United stand for? What's their identity? What sort of players should they be attracting? Okay, you can talk about the Ronaldo signing last season and he scored goals and created them and we all know who he is. But where are the next generation of superstars? And why aren't Manchester United commanding them, demanding them, but also commanding them? Why don't players want to go there? Obviously, they've been down in the doldrums for a while now, but I just can't believe the lack of succession planning at a club like that for the post-Alex Ferguson era.
What about juniors, though, Mossy? Like their academy systems? Do they not seem to be having the players coming through that they used to?
No, well, it's just...
Are they not investing in it? Or what's...
Yeah, I don't know the ins and outs of that, Loz, but you know, the big clubs generally have a really good youth system.
Yeah.
But are they keeping them in there? And is it an environment, when they step out of the youth system into the senior system, is it the right environment? Well, it hasn't been since Sir Alex Ferguson left. So maybe players are leaving just when they're about to hit the peak of their powers.
Yeah, so just repeating that big news in golf, according to the UK Telegraph, who were journalists there, Tom Morgan and James Corrigan, are reporting that Cameron Smith, the Aussie-British Open champion, has signed a deal to go to the LIV Tour worth somewhere around 140 million Australian.
A lot of money.
Oof. Brad Davis, good morning to you.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate. And the three-year-olds will be making their return to Rose Hill and the Rosebud on Saturday.
Yeah, they will be. 1,100 metres. Obviously, we had the missile last week for the older horses, and the three-year-olds get to have a look at their crack. Generally, the second-tier three-year-olds, I think it's fair to say, the Rosebud is normally that sort of style of race. And then we get into the big ones heading towards the features in a few weeks' time. But look, 24 nominations there for the weekend. The likes of Charlatan set to make their returns. Mumbai Jewel, Miss Hellfire, Opal Ridge is there, who was, of course, luckless the other day, and a number of other resuming horses. Williamsburg, Lady Laguna, Best of Bordeaux. So it's shaping up to be a pretty good race, probably a bit stronger than previous years if all those horses do accept and take their place at Rose Hill on the weekend.
Morning, Davo. We spoke earlier to Adam Pengelly about this one, but just keen to get your thoughts. Another tragedy in New Zealand with a jockey passing away 6 days after a race fall.
Yeah, very sad news there yesterday, guys. It filtered through on social media. Taiki Yanagida, unfortunately, has passed away after that race fall last Wednesday in New Zealand. It was a very nasty fall, and he was fighting hard in hospital, but unfortunately hasn't made it. So he's only 28 years old, obviously based in New Zealand there, and very sad news. Another stark reminder of the dangers that our jockeys face every single day as they head out to the racetrack, not just the jockeys, but track work riders and everyone that's involved with the industry. So, very sad news. Our thoughts go out to Taiki's family and friends and the entire New Zealand racing community and everyone mourning his passing. Very sad news there yesterday.
Yeah, terrible news, Davo. They're racing today at on the Kenzo. What's your best bet there?
Yeah, look, it's the weather's thrown up a spanner overnight, just not like Sydney weather to just appear out of nowhere overnight, but that's what we're dealing with. So now we're on a heavy deck there after 18 mil of rain. Look, I've gone with race 4, number 9, Pretz. A dominant winner last time out at Doomben. I think he can continue that form today and be hard enough to beat in race number 4. I found it a very tough program, probably the toughest program I've dealt with at the midweeks for about a year. I did find it very open and it was hard to really single one out and stamp on there today, but we'll go with race 4, number 9, Pretz. And race 3, number 6, Miss Balvenie there at Sandown, I thought was a bit of value around the $4.80 mark. A really good fresh mare who's jumped out nicely, 2 from 2 first up, and I thought looked well enough suited from a mid-barrier there in race number 3 at Sandown today. So they're the two today. Hopefully we can have a bit of luck on the Kenzo and at Sandown.
Appreciate it, Davo. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
So, Davo's tips, race 4, number 9, Pretz, $2.70 favourite with Tab, J Mack inside gate for Chris Waller, and it's Sandown he likes, race 3, number 6, Miss Balvenie, $4.80 with Tab, and I just note Adam Pengilly's tip from earlier, scratched.